Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us, to call in, and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane. I'm coming to you again on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in to us and for your support, which we couldn't be here without. And I pray that you will enjoy this hour as we talk about a number of different things that have been on my heart lately, that I've missed you. I was away for Thanksgiving, and I pray you had a wonderful time for your holiday. We did, my husband and I, and so I thank you for tuning in. May the Lord bless you and our time together today. I want to ask you to be a little patient with me. If it seems I'm not fully with it for this program today, I'm not. We had a big family funeral today, and that lasted until a short time ago, and it's been a trying and sad day for us, but, you know, being Christians, we have a great deal of hope, and that gives a lightness to our grief that I wish all people could have. Our nephew Eric passed at a young age. He was in his early 50s, and you know, he'd been sick for a few months, but you never expect someone young like that to go before you. You know, when an older person passes, it's still grief, causes grief, but when a younger person passes, it's such a shock, and it seems so unnatural. It's very difficult to deal with. It feels like you're in a dream and that it's not real. But, you know, eventually you learn to live with it. You never get over it, but you learn to live with it. And life goes on. I thought of three things when I was at the funeral today. And I wanted to share them. First of all, my absolute heart and love and prayers go out to the entire family, and especially to the Lutz family, his parents, Connie and John, and his brother, John the Third, who took care of him quite a lot. I mean, completely, really, over the last few months while he was so sick. And, of course, his two sons, because, you know, they had a tough time today, and my heart goes out to you guys, Alexander and Michael. The whole family was very sad. But, you know, we have a hope, and we're told in Scripture that we believers are not to grieve for those that we love in the same way as non-believers. Because we have been promised by the Lord comfort and assistance and His presence with us at all times, so we're never alone. So I wanted to for them and for those of you who are dealing with loss at this time of year. Maybe it's an old wound, or maybe it's a fresh wound, and I just want to share a couple of things with you that came to mind while I was there today. In the Book of Wisdom from the Bible, this is, you hear this at funerals a lot, but I really take it to heart because it's so comforting, and it really is from the Lord, and I'm going to read that to you right now. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. However, they are at peace. And I get a great deal of comfort from that, and I just wanted to share that with you. Jesus himself said, let me back up a minute. I was at a Christmas party a few years ago, and one of the women that I know, she has, had at that time a teenage daughter. And the teenage daughter came home, and she said, "Mom, we were learning about the Beatitudes today. Blessed are the poor in spirit," those verses from the Bible where Jesus is teaching. And he said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And she said, "Isn't that amazing that when we're mourning, we're blessed?" And she was so proud of her daughter to have understood that in such a profound way. And that has stuck with me all these years. Because when you read it and you don't really ponder it, you miss what he's saying. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. That doesn't mean that we're not going to grieve deeply and our hearts aren't going to be ripped apart, and all that sort of thing. But it does mean, and there is a promise from Jesus himself, that we will be comforted. Comfort comes from a number of sources. It comes from being in prayer and letting the Lord comfort you himself. It comes from friends and family and sometimes even strangers, And so as we mourn, try to see the comfort that is coming from around you. Try to see a beauty that is still here in this life. And especially the beauty of our faith that makes it possible for us to sometimes even smile during funerals of loved ones, because we have that hope and we have that confidence and we have that promise from Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible also says, and I don't have the scripture right here with me, but the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He is the one and only that you can trust to be there, to be right at your side at all times. I was talking to my nephew, John, the brother of Eric, the other night. I went to confession one time and I was upset about something, and my confessor, Monsignor Jagosinski, I was talking about how, it just doesn't, I know in my head that Jesus is with me and he's walking with me and we're doing things together, even though times are difficult, it seems like he's just not there sometimes. And that can happen a lot. When you're going through tough times, and challenges, especially if it's a daily thing that keeps going on and on and on for a while, it can feel that way. But Monsignor said to me, he said, remember the story in Scripture. It's called The Road to Emmaus in the Catholic Church. Jesus has been crucified. He's in the tomb still. And two disciples have basically given up hope. They're so distraught and sad, they're actually leaving and going to Emmaus, going away to Emmaus to grieve and to, they basically have given up all hope on this Jesus being the Messiah, et cetera, et cetera. They're just looking on the outside of the situation and not understanding the depths of the situation. Anyway, Jesus comes along alongside them, first of all, because he saw their distress and his heart broke for them. But he didn't want to just show himself to them. He wanted to teach them at the same time. So he kind of hid who he was. And we don't know how he hid himself. But when I think of it, I think of maybe he was in some type of robes where, he had covered his head to a degree, almost look like a hoodie, and didn't really like reveal his face too much to them. Maybe his mouth they could see or something. And he's, he says, why are you so distressed, blah, blah, blah. And then the disciples said, are you the only person around that doesn't know what's happened? And they told him why they were so grieved. And he's walking right there along with them, and they didn't even know it. And so then, a little further along, he's gentle with them. He's asking them questions. He's pointing some things out in Scripture to them. And as they go along, he's got them engrossed in what he's talking about, and it's nighttime, and he was getting ready to depart from them, which I don't think he would have, but they invited him to come in and have dinner with them. So he stayed with them, and as soon as they put the bread and wine on the table, he started breaking it like he did on at the Last Supper. And they instantly recognized who he was. And he disappeared from them. And they realized, oh my gosh, he's not dead. He's right here with us. He's still with us. And that's a lesson for us when we have a loved one who's passed. They are more alive. I wish I could have gotten the quote for you. They're more alive now than they were before. They're more filled with life now. Their bodies are not, but their souls are. And one day our bodies will be raised and we'll be reunited with our souls. But the men said, were not our hearts burning when he was speaking to us? The truth burns into us in a beautiful way. You know truth when you hear it. You might not like it. You might run away from it, but truth burns in our hearts in a beautiful way. So there's a couple of things there that I thought about in that these disciples had Jesus right there with him and didn't realize it. Well, that's the way it feels with us sometimes when we're hurting or when we're lonely, when life is tough or whatever. But Jesus is there with us too. Talk to him, pour your heart out to him, then listen. You'll be amazed at the way he can communicate with you sometimes. That still small voice that's mentioned in Scripture, he can do that with you. Now, if you're somebody who thinks, oh, people that believe in Jesus and God are just idiots, they're just believing because their parents taught them how to believe, and they're little lemmings that follow along and don't have any minds of their own. Well, I can tell you, I feel sorry for you. And the reason I feel sorry for you is because there aren't that many millions and millions of idiots out there. Really, seriously, when you give yourself to Jesus Christ and you believe and you pray and you commit yourself to being a Christian, he shows himself to you in a lot of different ways, and a lot of times it's remarkable ways where you know this isn't just some little funny thing happening here, normal thing. This is him. So, and then you get encouraged, and then you keep believing, and then you get more encouraged. And then something hits you upside the head, and it almost destroys you, and you say, well, where were you, Lord? Well, we don't understand all that, but he's still there. And you cling to him. There's a scripture, it says, let me see if I wrote it down. Oh, yes, blessed are those who do not lose confidence in me. That's in the Bible. Blessed are those who do not lose confidence in me. And in another one, it says, be still and know that I am God. In other words, come away a little bit. Give him a chance to prove that he really is there, that he really exists, and he will. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Come away with him during this Advent season. Be still and let him show you that he is God. And blessed are those who do not lose confidence in me. We spend a lot of time with family members that we don't get to see a lot. You know, as we grow up and, you know, we move away from parents and aunts and uncles and or even from our own states and everything, you know, it's very hard to get back together on a regular basis. And sometimes it ends up being for very sad occasions. So I just want to tell you that after today, I want to encourage you to get together more often with your family members and friends. Stop taking for granted that they're going to be there tomorrow or even tonight. Call them on the phone if you can't be with them. If a family party comes up, do everything you can to go. And I'm especially talking to the young people who have kind of moved away and they're really busy with their careers and their babies and all that kind of stuff. Please, I beg of you, please make the time to go and be with family. Have parties yourself so you don't have to travel. And then we oldies can come to you. Just don't take each other for granted. And the number one thing I want to encourage you to do is to forgive, forgive, forgive. Family situations can be very challenging. Family members can be hateful towards you. But don't let anything at all come between your love for them and the situation. Like, in other words, say you have a very difficult brother, just picking one or the other, and he's always, always, always being hateful toward you and everything. Okay? That doesn't mean you have to be around him a lot, but don't stop loving him. Pray for him. Love him. Send them a note and say, I'm thinking of you and I miss you. It's just ask the Lord to give you the grace to do that, and he will. And you'll be amazed. It might take 20 years, but somewhere along the line, those relationships can be repaired. By the grace of God, any relationship can be repaired. So please don't let the kind of things that happen in families come between you and the people that you love but might be angry with. Today was just a beautiful day being with the people that we love, and it was horribly sad, but it was wonderful to be together. So I just want to encourage you, especially with this upcoming Christmas holiday and everything, to do whatever you can to see your loved ones. And if you can't get there, call them. And I mean, really engage them. Don't just say, you know, hi, how you doing? Was thinking of you, bye. You know. But anyway, we have a wonderful Lord who is blessing us and being with us and heals us. And I just want to thank him for that. And you know, I was having a tough time thinking about coming here today because of the sadness of the earlier part of the day. But I'm glad I get to, because then I can encourage you, I hope, to persevere and to keep going, because the Lord is with you. He will bless and heal you and comfort you, and just trust that. Just trust that. And any family member who wants to talk to me, give me a call. I'm definitely, you know, at home when you can call me and I'll listen. All right. Okay. All right. So anyway, I want to move on to Fascinating subject. The heart. Okay, it's very interesting. About 2 years ago, I kept hearing, the Lord, I guess, made me sensitive to the word heart. And I kept hearing it in scripture, in the Mass. Everywhere I turned around, there was a reference to heart. So I went into into the scriptures, and I found that the word heart is mentioned more than 1,000 times in the scriptures. Heart, isn't that fascinating? And it's like, and I also found out that it's the second most used word, other than is, for, and those kind of words. It's the second most used word in all of Scripture other than the names for God and Jesus. I was shocked. But then more and more started popping up. And so I wanted to share with you when the Bible speaks about the heart. The heart is where our emotions and desires dwell. Jesus talks about, you know, the heart can be used for good. You know, the heart can draw you towards the good things in life and towards the proper desires and joys and emotions. Or the heart can lead you into sin and despair and anger and all of these horrible things. So the heart is very important, and that's why it's mentioned so much in Scripture. A lot of times, you know, we humans think that our minds are everything. You know, I have to be intelligent. I have to be able to reason. I have to be able to do this and do that, and everything else will be all right. But in reality, it's kind of the other way around. We have to guard our hearts and groom our hearts to have the right attitudes and the love and all of the things that we need to control our emotions in the right way and to form our desires in the right way and to just be able to be the people that God has called us to be. And then our minds can be engaged with our hearts in a way that is constructive. I'm not talking about runaway emotions and just giving into them all the time. I'm talking about both. If your heart is formed and is in tune to what the Lord wants you to do and to know, and then your mind can be in tune with your heart and have a nice balanced life, all right, in a balanced way. But we may not fully understand our own hearts or others' hearts, but God does. In Scripture, it says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, where our motivations, loves, and desires are. We can think we know someone just by watching what they do and how they act and all that sort of thing. And, you know, we can see their outward appearance. But the Lord is the one who knows their hearts. He is the one that knows, which we can't know. Why are they doing what they're doing? Are they injured? Were they injured somewhere in the past? Were we injured somewhere in the past and we have anger issues? Do we not know how to love because of injuries that we've had? You know, so the Lord looks on the heart, and that means a lot because he knows our hearts. He knows your heart. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. But it also means you can't hide from him. We think, okay, if we act a certain way and we fool our friends and family, then that's who we are. But God knows the truth, and so we can't really hide from him. And that's a good thing, because then you can be honest with him and say, Lord, I need help with this, or I thank you for that, or whatever. But our true selves, God knows, and he loves us so much. He wants so much to help you and to guide you and be your Lord, the one who can walk ahead of you, and you can follow him in a path that is the best path for you. And there's a couple of other things here about the heart. The Lord says in Scripture, give me your heart and let your eyes keep my ways. Here's another, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Over and over and over again, we see in Scripture how the Lord wants our hearts. In Mass, we say, the Lord says, the priest says, lift up your hearts. Your hearts. And we say we lift them up to the Lord. Okay? And then, so it's, in the show, The Chosen, all right? Some of you may have watched it and some may not. But in the scene where Mary Magdalene has fallen back into her old ways and is in great despair because she knows she's disappointed in Jesus and let down the other disciples that she's been with, and she's been weak and she's given into that, and she doesn't even want to go back to them because she's feels so horrible about, letting Jesus down. But the disciples go and get her and bring her to Jesus. And she goes in the tent, and she's so remorseful, and she's crying and sad and upset. And in the script, it says, Jesus says to her, basically, I'm glad you're back. You know, I can forgive that again, but all I really want is your heart. That is one of the most true statements in that in all of those shows. All I really want is your heart. Okay? So a lot of times we think, okay, we have to believe with our mind. Okay, I believe Jesus is the Savior. I believe in love. I believe in this. I believe in that. But it's not in our hearts. It's in our minds. So during this Advent season, how about if we all pray that the Lord will reveal to our hearts who he really is. Not just the facts, but him personally to us. When we come, I'm going to break in a few minutes, but when we come back, I'm going to pray for the intentions that have been given to me. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Advent and Mother Teresa and a number of things that have been interesting to me over the last few weeks that I thought would be good for you to hear. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you. So anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back. Take care.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, and we've been talking about loved ones and about the heart. The heart. You know, Scripture says that God is love, and He has a heart. It's interesting where, King David, who wasn't always a king. He was a very imperfect man, but he always tried to get back right with the Lord. No matter what he did, he'd always go back to the Lord. And you know what the Lord said about him? He said, he's a man after my own heart. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have hearts because he has a heart. And so, yes, we can hurt him. Yes, we can make him angry, but he always loves us, always, and always forgives us. So just remember that when you're feeling a little down on yourself, he always loves you. Anyway, we have one prayer intention this evening, and there's a young teenager. His name is Hagen. Hagen, if you're listening, I want to pray for you. Apparently, the person who requested the prayer says he's a smart and kind young man who's getting into trouble in the community, in school, and in his family. He's not choosing the right people to be with, and this seems to lead him into trouble. He's expressing anger to his divorced mother and in school. His father left the family for a girlfriend, and Hagen is angry with his father and argues and speaks disrespectfully to his mom. This young man is very, 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 very hurting. And my heart goes out to him. It really goes out to him. So let's pray for Hagen and all teenagers who are dealing with divorced parents or challenges at home and in school and trying to make good decisions about friends and lifestyle and everything. So please pray with me, and we'll hold up Hagen to the Lord in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, there's so many young people hurting today, including Alexander and Michael, who have lost their father. Lord, I pray for Hagen and all the young people that are hurting today. I pray for their families to be healed, at least to the point where there won't be as much pain or arguing or unforgiveness. I pray for a true healing of their families. And I pray for the young people themselves, like Hagen. I pray that you will send your angels to protect him, to lead him, to guide him, to help him to make wiser decisions and to not live in this anger and hurt 24/7, but to comfort him and help him and the other young people to have joy once again in their hearts and to have wisdom, understanding, and right judgment. And I ask Our Lady to pray for them and to keep them ever in her prayers. And Lord, we thank you that you love these young people with all your heart and that they can really be watched over by you and the angels and everyone. And we just entrust them to you and entrust them to Our Lady's prayers and motherly care. And we thank you for answering our prayers. And God bless them richly and abundantly, Lord, please. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay. Some of you might be Christians in a church that doesn't observe Advent. But Advent is a period of time that that some Christian churches, and definitely the Catholic Church, observes this time of year. It leads up to Christmas, all right? It's a time of what we call preparation. And it's not just preparation to buy gifts and decorate our houses and all that sort of thing. It's a preparation of our hearts. Our hearts. There's that word again. I was reading something today and it says, Advent is once again upon us, and we are called to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. We should question what things in our lives are holding us back from a true relationship with Jesus and welcoming him into our lives. Obviously, Jesus is not going to be born again on Christmas Day, but we spend time pondering why he came, the beauty of the season, the joy of the season, and how we can be more open and welcome him into our lives. I was, anyway, I'll get to that in a minute, but each week there are of different things are focused on each week, and you know, hope, peace, joy, love, you know, all these upbeat, beautiful things which we want to focus on this time of year because it's a unique time of year. There's so much, even when we're running around griping and carrying on, if we just take a moment to look at the lights and to smile at someone or whatever, the season can all of a sudden become more beautiful and more joyful. You know, a lot of people go out more this time of year, and they see friends and family, and or they might go to a restaurant, or they go to church together more, or whatever. So I encourage you, do those things. But it is meant to be a joyful time, but it's also meant to be a pondering time. Remember, Our Lady, it said multiple times in Scripture that, you know, she would see things that were happening with Jesus, and she would store all those things and ponder them in her heart. So ponder these things in your heart, and spend some quiet time with the Lord. But I wanted to give you some quotes from other sources, and this is supposed to be a joyful time. I mean, if you're grieving, obviously that will be difficult, but if you're not, be careful what you allow into your life each day. All right, be careful. All right, simplify your preparations and spend more time with the Lord and others. I was reading the other day, someone was saying, hey, you want to have a really great Christmas? Simplify your preparations. Simplify your life. During this time of Advent, spend more time with the people you love. You won't regret it. You know, so what if the bathroom's not pristine? So what if you have one more present to buy? Okay, but don't turn down opportunities to have a joyful experience with a family or friend, family member or friend. And watch, you know, good movies, you know, that speak to your heart. Read scripture. Study things that about the life of Jesus and find out how did he love people? How did he reach out to people? How did he treat people? You know? And ponder the very fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus didn't just come to wipe out our sins and all that sort of thing, all right? He came because he loves us with all his heart, and he wanted to show us how much he loves us by coming here and being with us and teaching us and showing us the better way to live. It was all done out of love. Just like his crucifixion was done out of love. He submitted to that out of love. But he came here as a helpless little baby so he wouldn't intimidate anyone and so that it would be easy for you to love him as a little baby. My goddaughter just had a little boy. Oh my gosh, we're so excited. I'm going to have her on the station sometime in the near future. But you look at that baby, and your heart, that word again, melts, and you have hope for the future, and the joy is indescribable. And so, you know, people that went to see Jesus when he was a baby, you know, he wasn't threatening to them. It was a marvel. It was a miraculous thing. And so try to ponder that some. Put yourself in the manger and just ponder that. You know, what it had felt like, you know? Oh, my goddaughter, Laura, I love you. Anyway, she when she looks at this baby boy, the way she looks at him, I see the Blessed Mother in her, how she must have looked at Jesus. How she must have just been mesmerized by the miracle of life. You know, so sit there by Our Lady and look at Jesus. You know, if you have a nativity set, spend some time pondering that. Let yourself enter into that. But I wanted to share Mother Teresa said, Advent like springtime. Advent is like springtime, when everything is renewed, fresh, and healthy. Advent refreshes us, makes us healthy, and able to receive Christ in whatever form he may come to us. Okay, so as you know, I've worked with Mother Teresa's sisters for many, many years, and she really did change my life. The Lord changed my life through her. And so I really want to share a few of the things that I've learned from her about Advent. And I was talking to one of the sisters the other day, and she reaffirmed what I'd heard before, but in a fresh way. And she said, Mother always told her sisters to prepare the crib, C-R-I-B, the crib of your heart, to welcome and receive Jesus. Not speaking only of at Christmas, but every single day. It's just at Advent, you can really ponder it and be more purposeful about preparing the crib of your heart. Here's a quote from Mother. Are we ready to receive Jesus? Before the birth of Jesus, his parents asked for a simple dwelling place, but there was none, no space for him. If Mary and Joseph were looking for a home for Jesus, would they find room in your heart? Would they choose your heart? Let us pray that we shall be able to welcome Jesus at Christmas, not in the cold manger of a selfish heart, but in a heart full of love, compassion, joy, and peace. A heart warm and welcoming with love for one another. You know, it is interesting how you can kind of like look at that quote in a deeper way. Mary and Joseph were looking for a place for Jesus to stay. The doors were closed. No one knew who was at the door. No one recognized who was at the door, or no one accepted who was at the door. Are we keeping our hearts closed because we don't know him? Are we keeping our hearts closed because we don't recognize that he's trying to come in? I just want to encourage you, please, please, whether you're a believer or not, open your heart to the Lord and say, I want to know you. I want you to prepare my heart or help me to prepare my heart. I want you to come in and dwell with me. Come into my heart and dwell with me. And if you don't believe in Jesus, say the same thing. Because, you know, don't think you're a hypocrite. You're just trying to find out the truth. And once you find out the truth, you will understand what I've been talking about tonight. So anyway, during this Advent season, let us prepare the cribs of our hearts for him. Remove all the things in life that block his way into our lives and hearts. We have a tendency to be way too busy, way too focused on the things of the world, preoccupied, on our phones 24/7, watching TV, whatever we're doing, even interferes with our family lives. How often are we doing something, anything, so that we don't have to spend time with our families? Well, how constructive is that, right? Give your family another chance. Try to find ways to reconnect with each other. Okay? Love them in spite of themselves. We're supposed to do that. Jesus did that. He even forgave the people that killed him. You know, we can, with his grace, we can do wonderful things like that. We can forgive and we can heal. Pope Francis, he actually spoke the other day on, he said, at Advent, ask how to prepare a welcoming heart for the Lord. It's the same thing that I've been talking about and that I heard from Mother. So it must be that we are supposed to be hearing this at this time, such a time as this. And I'm going to read a couple of excerpts out of here. It says, we want to prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus at Christmas, which we will celebrate in a few weeks. At the end of time, when he will at Christmas, which we will celebrate in a few weeks, also at the end of time, when he will return in glory, and every day as he comes to meet us in the Eucharist, in his word, in our brothers and sisters, especially those in most need, and other life circumstances. And it says, let us prepare the house of the heart with care. Keep your heart ready. Await the coming light. And this is an everyday thing. We can tune ourselves into him so much that every day we can see him. And here Pope Francis says, here's a good program for Advent. To encounter Jesus coming in every brother and sister who needs us, and to share with them what we can, listening, time, and concrete assistance. And then he goes on to say, how can we prepare a welcoming heart for the Lord? We can do so by approaching his forgiveness in confession, his word, his table, the Holy Eucharist, finding space for prayer, welcoming those in need. And it says, cultivate this expectation without letting ourselves be distracted by so many pointless things and without complaining all the time, but keeping our hearts alert, that is, eager for him, awake and ready, impatient to meet him. And then Mother Teresa would say at times, you know, when you're going to have company, when somebody's coming to visit you, you hopefully are pretty excited about it. You get the house cleaned up as best you can. You make preparations in the guest room. You plan out meals, places to go, things to do, so that you're preparing for their visit. And you're expecting them, and you're excited about them, and hopefully joyful to be having these people come. And so she basically was saying, hey, do the same thing with your heart. You know, prepare yourself for Christmas Day and the Christmas season by spending time in prayer. Don't get too crazy rushing around. And hang out with your friends and stuff like that in a constructive way. And she also said, Jesus is knocking, like just like in Bethlehem, Jesus is knocking on the doors of our hearts like Joseph and Mary did. Let us open our hearts and say yes to him, and that he is welcome to come in. Excuse me. Say yes to him, you're welcome to come in, and to live in the prepared cribs of our hearts. If we do, he promises to come. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that he will come and make a dwelling with each of us. Okay? So, I love that whole idea of preparing the crib of our hearts. It's a lovely thought, and I hope that it helps you. As you all know, I absolutely love being Catholic. Absolutely love it. There are flawed people in the church and this and that and all that, but I love being Catholic. It's been the greatest blessing of my life. And I say it freely and openly. One of the things I love about being Catholic is is that Christmas Day starts the Christmas season. It doesn't end on Christmas Day like it did in my previous church. You get to Christmas Day, maybe a few days later, and everything comes down. Christmas is over. Thank God, look, we can relax, you know, kind of thing. You know, you miss the good times and you miss the lights and all, but it's over. Okay. But in the Catholic world, and in many other Christian churches too, Christmas Day begins Christmas season. It's the very beginning. I love it. Because sometimes during Advent, the season leading up to Christmas, I'm running around, I'm busy, I'm stressed. You know, I do try to slow down and do the things that I've been talking to you about tonight. But a lot of times, things can get out of control. And you feel like you're missing out on the true meaning of the season. Well, then I just remember, hey, Christmas actually begins on Christmas Day. So I might not be able to sit and, you know, admire the tree and drink a cup of coffee or hot cocoa or something and really ponder and relax, read a nice devotional or whatever, watch a good movie. But once all of the preparations for Christmas are done and Christmas has actually occurred, then I can do all those things. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I encourage you, please. I mean, obviously, if you have a real tree and it's like a fire hazard by New Year's or something like that, you want to take it down. But leave it up. Some churches leave it up for at least 2 weeks, some 3 weeks, some 4 weeks. In fact, in Europe, some people leave all their decorations up until Candlemas, which is February 2nd. I usually leave mine up until at least mid-January because I really want to savor the season and enjoy the things that I was too busy to do beforehand. Spend more time with the Lord, go to church more, etc., etc. And so I hope that you will, just relax after Christmas and enjoy the true Christmas season. There's 12 days of Christmas. There's all kinds of things online on how to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas or the whole month of January. Whatever your little heart desires, enjoy that season for what it truly is. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior, our friend, to show us the better way to live, just to love us, and to have a real relationship with us. So give in to that. Let it happen. All right? And one last thing before I go. I won't be on until January because we're closed the 2 weeks that I'm normally here at the end of the month. So I'm sorry I'll be missing you, but I will be back in January. But I wanted to... One last thing is, I want to encourage you to go to Mass. Every time I speak on the radio, I encourage you to go to Mass, and I'll tell you why. Mother Teresa used to say, the personal love Christ has for you is infinite and everlasting. The difficulties you have regarding his church are finite or passing. Overcome the finite with the infinite. Don't give up the personal love of Jesus Christ because you have an issue with the church. Please go back to the Holy Eucharist. It's such an amazing gift. I'll tell you some other time why I love it so much. But he's truly present in there, and he truly loves you. He feeds you mind, body, and soul. And maybe this Advent season would be a good time to get back to being close to him in the Holy Eucharist. You won't regret it. And I just want to sign off tonight to wish you a very, very happy Advent in spite of whatever may be going on in your lives. And a super Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because I won't talk to you again till after the first of the year. God bless you richly. God comfort you. I love you all, my friends and family, and especially those that I was with today. And I pray that the Lord will take care of you and watch over you and give you a blessed Christmas season in your sorrow. Just remember that he loves you. I love you, and all of my friends and family members, and all of you out there who have taken the time to listen to this program. And I just pray that it's been a blessing to you, and that your holidays are filled with everything good and beautiful. God bless you. I love you, and take care. Okay.